Right now I have a special guest on the program. It's the wife of a Canadian political activist and marijuana advocate, Mark Emery, and the owner of Cannabis Culture magazine and Mark Emery's Cannabis Culture headquarters store. And she's also run for the BC Green Party in the last provincial election. It's Jody Emery. Thanks so much for coming on the program.
Well, thanks for having me.
Now, I was hoping we could talk about the recent challenge to the medical marijuana laws. Would you be able to kind of fill in our listening audience as to what has resulted here?
Well, a friend of mine named Matt Myrna has been trying to get medical marijuana access through Health Canada by getting his doctors to sign his papers and getting that federal authorization. But it's a very hard thing to do, and not many doctors want to sign, so he's been left without being able to get his authorization despite seeing dozens of doctors. And he got busted for having some marijuana growing in his apartment that he was just growing for himself. Mm. And he suffers from epilepsy and fibromyalgia and other things. So this cannabis has been very helpful for him. And the judge decided in his case that the federal government is depriving him and others of health and security by making the medical marijuana access program so difficult to get into. So the judge has given the federal government of Canada 90 days to either come up with some sort of better access so that doctors sign more, or a naturopath or some other people can sign, or some sort of distribution and availability. Or if that doesn't get done, then marijuana will be legal for possession and production for everybody, because the laws are just unjust and can't stand. So that's a really good sign for us. The only options are going to be either more medical marijuana access or complete legalization. So that's very positive.
Do you expect, though, the government will challenge that ruling, though, right?
Oh, yes, they've already applied to appeal it, so we'll see how that goes. But once the government starts telling Canadians that the sick and dying deserve to be sick and dead, then it's not very positive. You know, they're not going to have a whole lot of support.
So you think, though, this is a significant step towards, like, decriminalization for all people who wishing to use?
Any step towards being free from having your life destroyed is a good step. I mean, I don't know how long it would take to get to full legalization or even decriminalization. And especially with Stephen Harper in power, we've got at least 4 years of a much worse situation for people who use cannabis. But, you know, there's always change happening. And in the United States, there's change happening. So there's always going to be good and bad, and I think it's nice to have at least this one positive step when we know that there's going to be a lot of going backwards in the next couple of years.
Right. And what about, like, as far as people who are growing, say, just to sell to people who are need it for medical reasons? Like, a case comes to mind that in Manitoba here was Grant Krieger, who eventually was sentenced 4 months, just because the marijuana he was provided legally was crap in his opinion. So he was growing his own, and he ended up paying the price for that.
Yes, you know Grant Krieger fairly well. It's been a while since I've spoken to him, but he's certainly one of many victims of this, where they need cannabis that's healthy, organic, and safe. And it's not very easy to get. With the medical marijuana program, the only options are to either buy marijuana from the government, and they produce terrible stuff that isn't any good at all, or you can have a license to grow it yourself, or you can get a license to have someone else grow it for you. But, you know, for growing plants, it's a challenging thing. It's sometimes easy, but for those who are sick and in pain, it can be very hard to get access and to grow it themselves, or to even find someone else who will grow it and be honest and safe about it. So there's a lot of compassion clubs and medical marijuana users who are sharing with each other because they know how hard it is to get that access. So compassion clubs, even though they aren't technically legal, are in a gray zone because they are providing a very important service that the government is not able to provide. And that's come up, of course, in a number of different cases and a few different places being raided and shut down. So it's definitely a war. I mean, there are going to be casualties. This is a war on drugs. Mm-hmm. Stephen Harper declared a culture war. He doesn't like cannabis, so we're going to have to, you know, take the casualties we'll receive and keep fighting to get access, because these people who need marijuana are not violent. They're peaceful. They're innocent of doing any sort of harm to anyone else, and yet the government and the laws want to harm them, want to destroy their lives, want to cause them damage and pain. And that's wrong in any situation, to want to cause harm and suffering to anybody who isn't hurting anyone else.
Yeah, it's kind of, you wonder who's actually being protected when usually that's, you know, the reasoning or basis for certain, you know, things being outlawed.
Exactly.
And so recently the, you know, conservatives did win a majority government. So their main part of their platform is the tough on crime agenda. So what do you expect to come out of this? Do you think they might push through those mandatory minimum sentences?
Unfortunately, yes. Harper promised in the first 100 days he would pass all of their crime legislation in one omnibus bill, which is, of course, undemocratic anyway, because the members of parliament won't even be reading it. If it's an omnibus, it'll just be too big to even review. Mm-hmm. But it's basically all based on U.S. laws. Mandatory minimums mean automatic prison time for people, and that's going to increase the expense of imprisoning people into billions and billions of dollars. So I often comment on how Harper would rather spend billions of dollars imprisoning sick and dying people than he would building hospitals or schools to educate and save people's lives. You know, they're so interested in privatizing the prison industry, which has happened in the United States. Harper wants to introduce that here. And once you start imprisoning people for profit, that's the end of a just society. You can't put nonviolent people behind bars and ruin their lives just to make jobs. But that seems to be what Harper's plan and strategy is. And along with all these other laws, too, getting rid of early release for nonviolent offenders. Now you've got people who haven't hurt anybody before, and they're being told they won't be able to get any early release for good behavior. Mm-hmm. Well, that takes away the incentive for inmates to be on good behavior if they don't get any reward for it. And we've seen in the United States, all the laws that Harper wants to introduce here have been in effect in the United States, have cost billions of dollars. Different states are even trying to get rid of these laws that they introduced because they see that it's made the crime worse. And that's what's also most offensive about this, is that even all the research that the Harper government has done themselves, even on letting murderers lose the faint hope clause, the government did studies on all this, and they know that it's all going to result in more crime, and yet they pretend that they're tough on crime. But all of the research, all of their own studies, and all basic research and common sense points to these laws making everything more expensive, more dangerous for the Canadian public and the taxpayer. So I don't know what's going on in Harper's head, but we have a policy that could change all this. Ending prohibition could reduce crime dramatically, but Harper doesn't want to end prohibition. He wants more cops. He wants more prisons. He wants more war. He's just more into suffering and pain than he is into actually seeing people be helped. So that's why I find Harper despicable, and many others do too, and we're quite worried about the next 4 years, because he's promised to make a lot of people's lives miserable, and he has the power to do so.
Yeah, it's really odd that they would promote, you know, what is clearly a failed policy in the United States, in Canada, and, you know, as the United States has the highest rate of people in prison per capita in the world.
Yeah, 1 out of 100 people in the U.S. are locked up, and the United States holds 25% of all the prisoners in the entire world. 1/4 of them are in the United States. That's shocking.
But that's basically because of the amount of people who are in for nonviolent drug crime is what takes up that large number, right?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. So I don't know whether that's something we want in Canada. So we'll, the public, you know, I don't know whether he's just trying to, is he playing on, does he actually think that policy is useful, or is he just playing on ideology?
Well, it's ideology, but it's also money. Mm-hmm. And the police are the biggest lobbyist group in Canada. They're the only ones who constantly say we need tougher laws and we need more money and we need more jails, we need more cops. We need more jets and tanks and guns and SWAT teams and G20 armor and all the stuff that our police have been getting. They've been pushing for it, and the police are able to destroy anyone's life. I mean, they can take down a politician easy. You know, even Harper's Own were destroyed. Helena Gurgis, you know, she got totally screwed over, really. You know, the police can do whatever they want in this country, and when they ask for more tough laws, that would give them more money, more budgets. In fact, the police can now, thanks to Harper, spy on people without getting any court permission. They can seize your home and your assets if it's under $75,000, if they think it was ever used for a crime. So if they come to somebody's house in a small little town and say, well, we think that you sold marijuana to a friend, they can take that person's home and car and savings and everything they own without even convicting them or charging them with a crime. That's the kind of power that Harper has given the police in this country, that the police have been asking and demanding for. And even our premier here in BC and other provinces across Canada are giving police that sort of power too. So it's quite worrisome that we're being held hostage by the police in this country. And even in the US, they carry the guns, they draft the laws, and they make the politicians put those laws into effect. And it's also huge amounts of money. In fact, you'll find a lot of these news stories have people debating whether they should bring prisons into their community or not. And they go back to the old, it'll make money, it'll make jobs. If we get this prison built, it'll bring money into the community. And again, it's immoral to imprison people and ruin lives just for jobs. But Harper doesn't see growth. Harper is a social conservative. He doesn't want change. He doesn't want progress. He wants things to be the way that they are and the way that they used to be, which to him means backwards conservative, one man to one woman. Marriage is just, you know, his way of seeing it. They don't want anybody using drugs, even though he drinks alcohol himself. You know, and he's a hypocrite for doing that. And a lot of people that he works with, of course, are hypocrites. You know, so it's just an ideology that he's clinging to, but it's also that there's a lot of money to be made. The government has an endless taxpayer trough of money, and that should offend a lot of people when they realize the amount of debt that we're being put into, not only for the big prison spending, but also for the military spending Harper is doing. You know, there's a lot of things that Canadians should be upset about, but it's hard to stop it when the police and the politicians and big business are all in bed together. Mm-hmm. The taxpayer is basically just the wallet. And, you know, Harper is not an economic conservative. He would know better than to make government so big and expensive, but he's making government bigger and more expensive than ever before. So that's very hypocritical and very bad for the young people of this country who are saddled with the debt mm-hmm. that he's putting on our shoulders.
Now, going back to the, is there anything else you'd like to say about the, you know, the recent, that recent court ruling as far as the government doesn't really have any control over, you know, a judge's ruling in this case? What is there anything else you'd like to comment on that before we conclude?
Well, I encourage anybody who thinks that cannabis would help them to do some research and to talk to their doctors, because doctors are afraid to prescribe cannabis or give people licenses just because they're not familiar with it. But there are endless studies and resources out there showing that cannabis helps almost every single ailment, even more than regular pharmaceutical drugs. I mean, there's even people who have had tumors removed and killed off by using cannabis. And even though it sounds crazy, the proof is out there. And I encourage people to just simply use Google, search up cannabis, medical marijuana, and do some reading to get the information out there. Because in this case with Matt Myrna, he had a number of people testify. I think they had 30 people testify that they could not get a doctor to sign either. And that's when the judge realized this is wrong, that these people are dying, that they're terminal, that they're suffering, and the one thing that they know that helps is not available to them. So we have an education campaign to get out here and encourage doctors to not be afraid, encourage them to be open to opportunities to help people reduce their pain and suffering, because that's what doctors are for. Mm-hmm. So I encourage people to definitely get out there, find info, and learn a little more, because with the government clamping down on information and activism, and soon stacking all the courts with their own judges, we have to make use of the time that we have and the opportunity we have right now.
And I guess I also wanted to ask about Mark Emery and how is he doing, and what's the, you know, what's going on?
Currently he's in Mississippi in a medium security prison, and he's actually quite concerned because the Mississippi River is flooding right now,
right,
to a record high, and people are in the prison are talking about perhaps being evacuated. But that's going to be quite an ordeal, sending 2,000 medium security federal inmates to a different state. I mean, getting them on buses and everything, it would be quite an ordeal. So we're hoping that he doesn't get moved. That would be really terrible, the ordeal that they would go through. And I'm supposed to visit him this weekend, so I'll be flying down there. But he's trying to keep busy. He does a lot of reading. He's teaching himself guitar. He's going to learn Spanish, and he wants to teach a small business course as well. So he's keeping his spirits up, and he's very proud of me, you know, standing in his place. My voice is very raspy right now because I was at a massive rally in Toronto with 50,000 people demanding an end to prohibition and access to marijuana, and also calling for Mark to be free. So I do a lot of activism. I still run our business. I look after Mark. I try and look after myself. So it's certainly busy, but Mark and I will try and get through the next 3 years before he gets released. He has 3 years left before he can come home. So it's definitely hard, but we're both doing everything we can to get through it.
All right, Jody, thanks so much for coming on the program.
Well, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
All right, have a great day.
You too. Take care.
Bye-bye. All right, that was Jody Emery, the wife of Canadian political activist and advocate, marijuana advocate Mark Emery, and owner of the Cannabis Culture magazine and the Cannabis Culture headquarters store. She also ran for the BC Green Party in the last provincial election.